Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cash by Garrett Lee, narrated by Sean Grindell. Chapter 1. Bedfordshire. Ray. Be careful. Always am. I tied the bandana around my face. Dressed all in black, hoodie, dark jeans, black trainers with extra grip for climbing. I looked like a pound shop ninja, but with my hat pulled low, only my eyes exposed to the outside world, I didn't give a fuck who saw me. I had a job to do. Get in, get out, and don't get caught. I gripped the door handle of Megan's battered Astra. She dug her thin fingers into my arm. Be careful. I shrugged her off, rolling my eyes. Megan was a veteran, but a warrior. Always fretting till we made it back, hovering over anyone who got banged up until they made a full recovery. In many ways, she was more of a mother to me than my own had ever been. But I didn't need mothering right now. I needed to get shit done. Steeling myself, I got out of the car, easing the door shut with a barely audible click. Then I crouched and crept through the woodland that surrounded the Target farm. The main driveway was lit up with security lights, watched by a dozen CCTV cameras I could see, and more I couldn't. But weeks of scouting had revealed a weak spot away from the stables. If I could get past the kennels without a commotion, I was home free. An 8-foot wall ringed the palatial country estate. Some of it had spikes to dissuade intruders. They didn't dissuade me. I dug my feet into the brickwork and scaled the wall, pausing at the spikes to scan the grounds. The coast was as clear as it was ever going to be. I checked my pockets for tools and threw myself over the top. My feet hit gravel. The crunch seemed deafening, but there was no time to stop and take stock of my surroundings. I found grass as fast as possible and tiptoed to the outbuilding that would be my cover until the mad dash past the kennels. Shadows consumed me, and I welcomed them, absorbed them, adding them to my own. Saving was tough, but nights like these brought me to life, made my heart pump and the blood in my veins sing. All I had to do was see it through. I rounded the outbuilding. The kennels were 2 feet away, but we timed it so my scent was blowing in the opposite direction. Some of the 60 hounds were bound to hear me, but Meg and Fletch had set up a smokescreen beyond the walls. A revving motorbike that would cover me, if luck was on our side. It wasn't something that happened often, but we didn't stop hoping. I fished my phone from my pocket and sent a blank message to Meg. A few seconds later, the bike roared. On cue, the hounds howled. Winner. I shot across the yard to the driveway, ducking behind the lorries and horse boxes lined up ready for the morning. Working quickly, I swapped my phone for my knife and hacked at tires, opting to slash 2 on each vehicle. It was riskier and took longer, but if no fucker left this driveway tomorrow morning, I'd die a happy man. Jab, twist, pull. I worked through the vehicles methodically, disabling each one while the hounds continued to howl. The front door to the main house opened. I ducked behind a van as a flashlight swept the yard. For a long moment, I dared to imagine I wouldn't be seen. Then the light stopped at my feet, and the game was on. A shout pierced the air. I recognized the voice. Gordon Llewellyn Davis, or Goon, as the Sabs round here call him. But I didn't stop to look. Just took off running, and prayed his shotgun was locked away. My feet pounded gravel, and then wet grass. The wall was in sight, but far enough in the distance that the fear I was halfway addicted to beat a fierce tattoo in my chest. More shouts chased me down. Somewhere a quad bike roared to life.
I'll shoot your bollocks off, you little cunt!
Nice. For a community who prided themselves on being above the rest of the world, they sure did pick their words. A shotgun blast rang out behind me. My heart stuttered, but the wall was close. 4 more strides and I leapt at it, pulling myself up like a cat, as my shoes found purchase on the uneven bricks. Climbing was my jam, and I sprang easily to the top. The spikes seemed huge. I closed my eyes as I hurled myself past them. Another shot. Goon shouted, but his voice faded as I hit the ground and rolled, scrambling to find my feet. The creak of the metal gate opening was louder. The quad bikes too, but they had no hope of chasing me in the dark. I sprinted away, disappearing into the woods like the wild creatures I'd pledged my life to protect. Adrenaline sluiced through me, the bitter wind cutting through my clothes. I was wet, cold, and shaking enough to make me feel sick. But beneath it all was victory. There would be no hunt tomorrow. Chapter 2. Tottenham. Cash.
Mate, you never go out. Where's the arm?
I scowled at Lucky, my housemate. Since when had he cared about the sad state of my social life? His tendency to mind his own business was why I'd offered him a room in my place. But things had changed in the year we'd been living together. We'd grown closer, become friends, and apparently that meant he had an opinion on everything. And apparently, immunity to my best attempt at a glare. I sighed and glanced at Dom, Lucky's fella for backup. It was usually a pretty safe bet, but Dom was buried in his laptop, his handsome face twisted in a frown, oblivious to my plight.
Go on, Lucky needled. You never know. You might hook up.
With who? One of my new step-aunt's 12 evil sisters, or her knobhead cousins that spit when they talk. Lucky laughed.
Does it matter? It's been so long, I reckon you could go either way.
Twat. It was a good job Lucky was as bisexual as me, or I'd have decked him for that.
Maybe.
Because the truth was, he had a point. When I was younger, swinging both ways had been to my advantage. There was always someone to catch my eye. These days, I just wasn't interested, no matter the packaging. And the prospect of my own company for the evening was too tempting to ignore. Only the risk of offending my ever-growing extended family made me consider the invitation stuck to the fridge.
Maybe Lucky can come with me.
But I nixed the idea pretty quick. Lucky and Dom were joined at the hip, and Dom was less social than me. With a heavy sigh, I branded them both wankers and trudged upstairs to ditch my sweatpants for jeans, put a shirt on, and do absolutely nothing with my scruffy hair. I left the house and made the half-mile walk to my uncle's favourite boozer. The party was in full swing. My family had taken up most of the front bar, intent on getting lashed in honour of Uncle Sid's fifth marriage. I showed my face, dodged his wife's sloppy kisses, then retreated to the back bar with a pint of Murphy's and prayed no one else found me. Idiot, then you should have stayed home. But I hadn't. I'd listened to Lucky, and now I was propping up a Tottenham bar in my tod, wishing myself anywhere but here. It was times like these when my mind tended to wander, to take a trip down memory lane and pour acid into my chest. I drank half my pint in one swallow and pulled out my phone to distract myself, but the news app was depressing and I didn't do social media. Fuck that shit. I glanced at the TV. The football was on. Dom's former team, in fact. I followed the match until the end of the first half, but the sound was muted, so no amount of staring at the pundits gave me any relief. That left people watching. In a boozer like this, I was usually limited to drunk old men. A glimpse into the future, perhaps. But a sweep of the bar turned up something. Someone who made me look twice.
Jesus. When was the last time I'd seen someone like him sitting in a dog-shite pub?
In fact, when was the last time I'd seen someone like him anywhere? To get a better look, I took a seat on a nearby stool, angling my body so I could surreptitiously study him, a thrill I couldn't explain rippling through me. He was compact and lean, not much broader than Lucky, who made me appear big. Sinewy legs were encased in tatty skinny jeans, set off by combat boots and a bomber jacket with a hoodie underneath. Perfectly scruffy, all set off by the coolest black-framed glasses I'd ever seen.
But it wasn't his clothes that really got me going. It was him. Dark hair, dark eyes, flawless skin, stubble just thick enough to be a legitimate beard. God, he was gorgeous. So gorgeous, I couldn't stop staring. So, naturally, he caught me when he glanced up from the Evening Standard a few minutes later. Busted. But somehow, I still couldn't tear my gaze from him. For a long moment, he stared back, his eyes blank, expression unreadable. Then a grin lit his face, warming his features like the sweetest sunset. I grinned back, cocking my head to one side, signalling the stool beside me. Tatten and boozers weren't often right for picking up blokes, but what did I have to lose? Worst case scenario, he'd ignore me and go back to his newspaper. He dropped onto the stool a moment later. Please tell me your come-to-bed eyes are legit, because if you're fucking with me, I'll break your legs. I snorted, stout bubbling up my nose. Try. Try what? Decking you or picking you up? Either, though I'm more down with the last suggestion. The first is irrelevant, then, eh? I reckon so. It was the strangest introduction I'd had in a while. Lacking any better ideas, I bought more alcohol and slid a point along the bar to my new companion. What's your name? Ray. You? Cash. Sounds like a cowboy name. I'm a mechanic, so perhaps I am. Nah, you've got honest eyes. That's right. Ray sipped his pint. Yeah, I can always spot a liar. Lucky him. But I ignored the flash of hurt and focused on him. With him so close, I realized he smelled as good as he looked, like wood smoke and trees. The scent took me back to the one place I'd truly been myself, to happy memories untainted by despair and regret. I wanted to bury my face in his neck. I settled for leaning a little closer. Do you live round here? No. You? Up the road? You don't sound like a London boy. That's 'cause I'm Irish. No, really? Insolence made Ray seem boyish, his sharp edges softened by humour. If you're drinking Murphy's, I'm guessing you're from Cork way, not Dublin. Something like that. Though I don't mind a pint of Guinness. Just don't tell my clan. I jerked my head to the rowdy crowd at the front bar. Ray followed my gaze, and his smirk became a genuine grin. Wow, that's some family. I've just come from my folks' place, and it was like a damn morgue. Are they old? No, just dull. I nodded. More questions danced on my tongue, but I kept them in. As intrigued as I was by Ray, his life story wasn't the reason I'd made eye contact across the bar. It had been a fair while since I'd last hooked up, and even longer since I'd pulled a bloke. But now it was on my radar. It was all I could think about. Fuck, I want him. As if he'd read my mind, or perhaps he'd had enough small talk too, Ray closed the remaining distance between us, nudging my shoulder with his. I don't know about you, but I'm done with beer and banter. You want to show me your place? In answer, I downed my drink and turned to the door, thanking my lucky stars that Lucky and Dom were the kind of couple who went to bed at 9 o'clock to fuck and stare at each other. Let's roll. We walked back to my place in near silence. Ray smoked while I tried to rein in the nervous energy buzzing through me. Christ, it's not like you're a damn virgin. Far from it. But hooking up with fellas did something to me. Charged me in a way sleeping with women didn't. Not because I fancied men more, but perhaps because I understood men less, emotionally at least. Physically, I could make the sex sing, but on a mental level, fuck, I had no idea. The heartbreak that had driven me to London was testament to that. Bastard. Hey. Ray elbowed me in the ribs. You don't have to take me to your place if it's not cool. We can find somewhere else. Or not. You're not obligated to fuck me. I know that. Though I was having a hard time picturing myself doing anything else. Ray was so utterly fuckable. My dick was already at half-mast. Sorry. Long day. Fair enough. Let's get to the good parts, eh? I had no argument for that. My house was a heartbeat away. I let us in, glancing to the top of the stairs to Lucky's bedroom door. It was shut, no crack of light visible beneath it, though that didn't mean he was asleep. At some point, I'd probably have to explain why I'd been out for less than an hour, but not right now. After a quick detour to the kitchen to grab some beer, I led Ray upstairs to the attic hatch. My bedroom's up there. Haven't got round to building a staircase yet. Give me a sec, and I'll pull you up. It was hardly romantic, but Ray didn't seem the type for airs and graces. I heaved myself up and rolled over to offer Ray my hand, but he was already through the hatch and sitting cross-legged on the floor. Damn, you're fast. He shrugged. Wasn't that high. I like your room. Do those skylights open? Yeah? I scrambled to my feet and opened the roof window closest to me. It's great when it's dry. Not so much when it rains. Fucking noisy. I'll bet. Still, there's nothing better than sleeping under the stars. I haven't done that for a long time. Why not? It was my turn to shrug. Life got away from me, I guess. You're not one of those sissy boys chained to your desk, are you? Nope. I told you. I'm a mechanic. A pretty good one, if your fancy pad is anything to go by. It's not. I got it cheap from my uncle. Renovated it myself. Good with your hands, then? I guess. Ray stepped into my personal space. Show me. My hands moved before I made a conscious decision to acquiesce. I unzipped Ray's bomber jacket and pushed it over his shoulders. Then I gripped him and tugged him closer, bringing our bodies together. The contact was minimal, but electric, and desire washed over me, adding to the lust I'd brought home from the pub. We inhaled at the same time, short, sharp gasps of air. He stared at me as though he wanted to consume every part of me, and I was so down with that, but first. I licked my lips, transfixed by his pillowy mouth, and brushed a fingertip over his plump bottom lip. Can I kiss you? If you want. Some blokes don't bother. I didn't want to think about him with other men, so I didn't. I took him at his word and kissed him instead. He made a sound in his throat that built to a low moan and clutched at my hips, ramming us together with more force than before. Heat rocketed through me, and I kissed him harder, forcing him to stumble back, but I didn't stop. Couldn't. I had to have him, devour him, absorb every touch he was willing to give. Bray's back hit the sloped bedroom wall. He ducked, righting the balance between us, bending me backwards until he had the upper hand again. It was my turn to stumble, and only the nearby bed kept us both from crashing to the floor. He was on me as soon as I hit the mattress, kissing me fiercely and tearing at my clothes. His passion surprised me. His cool demeanor had geared me up for a faceless fuck, but there was nothing impersonal in the way he kissed me, or in his hungry gaze when he drew back to catch a breath. No one had ever looked at me with fire like that. I made short work of stripping his hoodie and t-shirt away, revealing a lean, sinewy torso, coiled muscles wrapped around slender bones, though he wasn't that much smaller than me. Flawless skin, marred only by a series of scratches on his abdomen. Despite my curiosity, I didn't ask, and he didn't offer an explanation, just unbuttoned my jeans and his own. Condom? Fuck. My brain whirred before I remembered the bumper pack Lucky had jokingly brought home for my birthday. It was under the bed. I contorted myself to retrieve them, and directed Ray to a bottle of lube on my bedside table. With everything we needed, we went back to exploring each other with lips and tongues. Ray settled over me, pressing me into the mattress, his cock digging into my thigh, but he didn't stay still for long. His energy matched mine, and we rolled over and over until I couldn't handle the denim barrier a second longer. Jeans disappeared, underwear followed, and suddenly I was naked in front of a stranger for the first time in who the hell knew how long. I wasn't particularly shy, and Ray didn't give me a moment to become so. He pushed me onto my back and straddled my chest, his cock inches from my mouth as he palmed it.
Do you want it?
Want what? Your dick in my mouth?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you want me.
Again, words didn't seem adequate. I moved like a snake, flipping him onto his back, covering him with my body, pinning him down.
I do want you. I want to suck you, fuck you, perhaps more than once. That okay with you?
Ray's eyes darkened. Wouldn't be here if it wasn't. It was all the encouragement I needed. I moved down him, sensing his hot gaze tracking me. I kissed his flat belly, chuckling when the scruff of my face made him jump, touching him everywhere except where he apparently wanted me most. But I couldn't resist his dick for long. Jutting from his slender hips, it demanded attention, and I had plenty to give. I licked him from root to tip, then swallowed him down, sucking him deep into my throat. His taste was salt and smoke on my tongue. Heaven. His heavy breaths turned quickly to harsh moans that turned me inside out. I worked him hard, pumping him in my fist as I sucked. And I could have blown him all damn night if my cock hadn't had other ideas. I pulled away as he started to pulse, derailing his release before it surged too far to catch. Ray let loose a frustrated groan, but his eyes danced with amusement.
You're a tease? You tell me.
You're gonna be a good fuck.
I am.
How do you want it? Ray rolled onto his stomach, lifting his hips to show me exactly what he wanted. The sight of him so brazenly desiring me was something else, and a harsh moan escaped me. I scrambled for the lube, tearing a condom wrapper open and sheathing myself in record time. I slathered myself with lube, then turned my attention to Ray. Gently, I slid a hand around his hip and nudged his legs wider apart. He trembled, which surprised me, so I rubbed a soothing circle into his back and dripped lube onto him. Lightly working it inside him, pressing cautiously, slowly, giving him every chance to change his mind. But he didn't change his mind. He rocked back against me until my finger slipped inside him, and his moan ripped around the room, burying itself in the walls forever. I tested him, stretching. Then I added another, and repeated the process until he was gasping, head bowed, skin beaded with sweat.
I'm ready. Fuck me, Cash. God, I loved how his low voice enveloped my name. I'd have fucked him forever if only he kept saying it like that.
I closed my eyes for a breath and reclaimed my fingers. Then I advanced on him and pressed my dick against him, breaching him so slowly it was almost painful. Painful for me. I'd bottomed enough to know it was likely hurting him, too. Beneath me, Ray fisted my clean sheets and squirmed, arching his back as his body endured a war of pain and desire. But I knew the moment desire won out. His shoulders slackened, tension bleeding away, and I slid all the way inside, my balls crammed against his as the space between us evaporated. I panted, fighting the urge to move. He reached around and squeezed my thigh.
Do it. Well, okay then.
I pulled out and drove into him again, over and over, picking up pace until I was pounding into him, my hands on his shoulders, dragging him back onto my cock. Our hips slammed together, me in control for the briefest time. Then he fought back, matching me thrust for thrust, demanding more with every ragged moan that fell from his lips. Control escaped me. I fucked him as though my life depended on it. My bed jumping across the floorboards I hadn't got round to painting yet. It was like I'd never done it before. Never had my dick been enveloped in tight, wet heat, my brain invaded by the hot sounds of a lover falling apart. Except Ray wasn't my lover. He was a random hookup, and he had no business sending me so fucking crazy, ensnaring me with something so primal and filthy. I couldn't see how it would ever end. My body had other ideas. Orgasm rushed through me. I fought it, but lost. I placed warning hands on his back, hunched over him, lips brushing his ear. I'm gonna come soon. You ready? Fuck yeah.
Ray writhed beneath me, dropping his head.
Fill me up. God, he was so fucking dirty.
Heavy pleasure surged through me, coiling around every nerve until it snapped, and a dark, pulsing release poured out of me and into him, throbbing where we were joined. I cried out, digging my nails into him, desperately still fucking him, as I registered a hoarse yell that wasn't mine, violent shudders beneath me, and then silence. My chest heaved, dry gasps scraping my lungs, but somehow I gathered the wherewithal to gently pull out of Ray and roll off him. He didn't move, just lay there breathing so hard that when perspective returned to me, I feared something was wrong. I grasped his shoulders and rolled him over. His eyes were screwed shut, his face flushed, but he was grinning, a lazy, sated smile that said all the right things without him uttering a word. Relieved, I let him go and collapsed beside him. Don't get too comfortable. I'm gonna have you again before the night's up.
Chapter 3. Ray.
There aren't enough of us. Megan frowned gravely around the meeting. The only way forward at this point is to reduce the number of fox hunts we target.
Outcry met a suggestion, but it was pointless. She was right. Our gang had steadily depleted in number over the last 12 months, until there were barely 6 of us some days, nowhere near enough to derail an event before it got started, let alone disrupt a full-scale hunt. The bastards we were up against would ride straight through us.
So what do we do? I said. We can't put an overt call to arms out. They're watching our every move online.
Megan stopped pacing and reclaimed her seat beside Fletch, her husband. They exchanged a meaningful glance, and he passed her a scrap of paper.
Right now, she said, new recruits are too risky. We can't trust any face we don't know, so we're going to have to reach out to people who've left us.
Retired saps? She nodded.
We have a few names. Fletch and I can contact most of them, but there's a couple I'd like you to approach. Both London-based, so anyone tailing you would assume you were going home.
A ripple of heat spread through me as I recalled my last trip into the city, but I pushed it aside to contemplate later and took the scrunched paper Megan held out. 2 names were scrawled in pencil. Ted Parker, Kieran Walsh. Last known addresses were penciled beneath, but I knew I'd have to get creative if they turned up blank. Maybe the 3 months I'd interned at MI5 would come in useful after all. How receptive are they likely to be?
I can only judge by reputation, Megan said. They operated in the north as far as I know, but Walsh is a legend. If we get no one else, we need him.
The meeting broke up, leaving me to deal with the prospect of traipsing back into London, when less than 3 months had passed since my last trip. For appearances' sake, I'd have to drop in to see my parents, and Lord knew I could do without that. Still, getting off camp at this time of year was a bonus. A soggy autumn had left every tent and trailer damp, the ground saturated, and even the most hardened SAB vets were growing weary of our transient lifestyle.
We still need to build a house, I said to no one in particular.
No one answered. Fletch drove me to the station. On the way, we stopped by Goon's place for no reason other than to scout the place for any activity linked to hunting. Ramped up security, horse prep, hounds looking hungrier than usual. We parked in the woods, a different spot every time, and trekked to the wall surrounding the grounds. The wall was old and spotted with tiny holes, some just big enough to slide Fletcher's ancient telescope through. His spy tool was small but mighty. We scoped 3 vantage points before the rumble of a vehicle coming up the driveway signaled our retreat. A quick dash took us back to the safety of the trees. I ducked behind a dead oak
and tracked the BMW, snaking towards the house.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?